From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Pakistan's intelligence agency has arrested five CIA informants who provided help in the lead-up to the raid by U.S. Navy SEALs that killed Osama bin Laden. The New York Times reports the five include the owner of the safe house that was rented by the CIA so agents could watch bin Laden's compound in Pakistan, and a Pakistani Army major who was said to have copied the license numbers of cars visiting that compound. Pakistan is denying that an Army major is among those detained. The Times quotes American officials as saying CIA Director Leon Panetta raised the matter of the arrests with Pakistani military and intelligence officials last week when he was in Islamabad. Two missiles fired from what Pakistani intelligence officials say were U.S. drone aircraft have hit a militant compound and a vehicle in an area near Pakistan's border with Afghanistan. At least three insurgents were reportedly killed. A suicide car bomber in Afghanistan has detonated a blast that has killed at least seven people and wounded seven others. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the Taliban are claiming responsibility for the attack.
Police in Kapisa province just northeast of Kabul said a Toyota Corolla full of explosives detonated at a security checkpoint. The driver was apparently trying to get close to the provincial government building, but blew up his car bomb early when he was discovered. A Taliban spokesman said the targets were Afghan and French troops stationed in Kapisa. But as with most insurgent attacks, the majority of the victims were innocent bystanders. In Wardak province, southwest of Kabul, a mortar crashed into the ground next to a police compound where the Afghan interior minister and vice president had just addressed new recruits. No one was injured. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
Crews have been working through the night to add another 3 feet of dirt to the top of a new temporary levee that's now the only barrier protecting the town of Hamburg, Iowa, from the approaching floodwaters of the Missouri River. If that levee is breached, the Army Corps of Engineers says the town could be under as much as 10 feet of water within a matter of days. If that happens, Hamburg resident Robert Riefling says some of his neighbors may never return.
Right now, I know a lot of them, you know, if they get water in their house, they won't rebuild. You know, it's going to be economically really hard on the area.
The floodwaters are expected to reach the new levee sometime today. Authorities in Arizona are questioning two people who may have played a role in starting the huge wildfire that is playing out through the state. Christopher Knopp is a spokesman for the U.S. Forest Service. He tells KNX-TV that investigators believe they know how the fire was started.
What we've pretty much broken it down to is it looks like it was a campfire. And we've got a couple of people of interest that we're talking to on that right now.
The Arizona wildfire has spread over more than 750 square miles of land. It's only about 20% contained. This is NPR News from Washington. A federal judge in San Francisco has rejected a challenge to a ruling finding California's voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage, known as Proposition 8, to be unconstitutional. NPR's Richard Knox reports the court said the judge who issued the original ruling was not obligated to disclose that he's gay.
Supporters of Prop 8 had argued that Judge Von Walker's relationship with another man could have led to marriage, and therefore the judge should have recused himself from ruling on Prop 8. But Chief U.S. District Judge James Ware said the presumption that Walker could not make an impartial decision is warrantless, and that it's like saying that a female judge is incapable of making an impartial decision in a case in which women are seeking legal relief. Judge Walker's ruling is still being reviewed by a federal appeals court. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, San Francisco.
Wisconsin's state Supreme Court has cleared the way for the controversial law stripping most public workers there of collective bargaining rights to take effect. Sean Johnson of Wisconsin Public Radio reports the law has been stalled for months.
The court overturned a decision by Circuit Judge Marianne Sumi handed down in March that had prevented the bargaining law from taking effect. Judge Sumi ruled legislators broke Wisconsin's open meetings law when they passed the plan. But the state Supreme Court said yesterday the law did not apply to the legislature in this situation and that the judge had overstepped her authority. Majority Republicans called the ruling a vindication. Democratic Representative Peter Barca called it disappointing.
Clearly it's unfortunate because we're permanently taking away people's right to bargain.
While this lawsuit was challenging the process by which the union bargaining law was passed, others may yet be filed challenging the content of the law itself.
That's Sean Johnson reporting. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.